It is episode number 2 officially of You Play to Win the Rose, a Bachelor podcast with myself, Ben Heisler, and my good buddy, Andrew Carter. And we have a lot to unpack after episode 2 of The Bachelor from Monday. What's going on, man?
Not much. I'm excited. We made it on Apple Podcasts. I think that's how you know that you're legit and that you're a real podcast is when you make it on Apple and they approved us. So we're really running it hot, episode 2.
Right. We're like Pinocchio. Like we're finally like real, but except our nose isn't growing in the process because we tell the truth on this show.
Yeah, we tell the truth for sure, but I'm excited that just in a short time, we have some legitimacy, and hopefully people are enjoying it. And today, for the first time, our episode actually is going to take some form. We have a system in place that we might be using moving forward.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, after each show, there's going to be an element of the two of us going through what we saw and trying to find some meaning behind it. So there'll be a recap of everything from episode number 2. Of course, Andrew teased it last time out. There's going to be a cliche alert as we follow the sportsman Colton throughout this journey, and there's going to be a lot of it taking it one date at a time. So we'll keep a running tab on that. We have a few people that we want to take the opportunity to recognize for each week of the show. Sometimes they're stars, sometimes they're scrubs. Each way that leads you to a successful lineup. So we'll go through some of our MVPs and maybe a couple of the girls that we'd like to leave on the bench. There is something that we're doing called the film session. And Andrew, I don't know if you want to give the details on what the film session is like, but it's a really good opportunity here for us to take something from the show that really caught our attention.
Yeah, I think it's the one thing every week there's a big thing that happens or a few big things that happen that where Twitter explodes, right? Well, we're going to take the opportunity on this show to pick that one thing for us personally that stood out that we want to dive deeper into, that we want to go back to the tape. We want to relive that moment and maybe talk it over with each other to see if there's some more clarity there or what we learned or really just talk about it some more because it was that big of a deal. So our film session will be that one opportunity that we have to put something out there on the line that we really want to talk about. Instead of boring people along the way with everything, we're really going to focus in on the things that matter.
Absolutely. And then the other component to that too, is that this is a Bachelor show with a theme styled towards competition, right? So when you go back, you look at the film, you're trying to find some sort of advantage for the next week moving forward. Maybe there's an indication here that we need to be a part of. Maybe there's something that we need to realize that could be a part of the show for the consistency of time. And then last but not least, we thought we'd provide a little bit of a wagering angle. And so I have come up with my props that will be used for the following week. It can also be used maybe for the course of the show. So each week we will come up with either 2 or 3 new prop bets that I will throw in the direction of Andrew. And you guys can, of course, weigh in as well on Twitter, at Benny Heiss, at Andrew underscore Carter. Is it? It's in the middle, right? I didn't
screw
that up.
You got it. 2 underscores, yeah.
2 underscores in the middle. So as far as the recap goes, the initial part of it for me started off a little bit strange because we're so used to this formulaic outlook where Colton wakes up or the contestant, you know, starts the day and they're looking out in this introspective look out into this beautiful scenery. And it's like, today is my first day on the dates and this is what I'm thinking about. And instead they tried to go in a different direction and sort of do this widescreen selfie Instagram style story. Was that just to try and mix things up? Because I wasn't really feeling it. And maybe it's just because it was entirely different than what we've anticipated all along.
That seems to be the trendy thing in television these days. I don't know if people out there are as big of a fan as Million Dollar Listing LA as I am. This is a recent development in my life.
All right, this is good. This is news to me.
Yeah, this is a recent development. And what I've noticed is they constantly kind of have these sections in the show where they show the main characters on their phone kind of doing selfies or Instagram videos, and they actually play the real Instagram video that people would see if they were following them on the social platform, and they kind of throw it into the show to give it more authenticity that they're real people. I think that's what they're going for with this Colton thing. They're really on this trendy, we're going to take some of what you do in real life and put it into the show to make it feel more real, I guess.
So did it feel that way to you?
No, because we fast forwarded it. Like, Lindsay and I definitely were a little bored because it was kind of a rambling session. Not that it's like I'm not here to trash it. It just didn't do it for us. Like, okay, let's keep going here. Let's see what's next.
Have you noticed that, by the way, that in my wife watches a lot of these like blogger Instagram videos, and I mean maybe I watch a few of them. Have you noticed that every Instagram video starts the same way? Hey guys, so I know not a lot of you are probably going to watch this, but I just want to come and talk to you about X, Y, and Z. And then like 3 minutes later, it's done. They all start the same way.
Yeah. Hey guys, I really just love this. And the reason I love this is because of this. So you should try it. There it is. There you go.
So if anything, it's supposed to feel authentic. They're selling you something.
Yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But some are more entertaining than others, I guess. I wouldn't put Colton up there as a future creative content director for any social media page.
I think that's probably spot on. So let's talk about the first group date. You had two television comic icons, Megan Mullally, Nick Offerman. And the group date was a performance of firsts, which shockingly goes back to something that we brought up last week. The virgin theme of this show is not going to die. We initially thought that, okay, get it out of the way, first episode, know that it's going to be a talking point. I get the feeling that in every episode, there's going to be some theme or some reference to it, besides just the women asking him about it, which they have every right to do. But this is going to be interwoven throughout the whole concept of this year's show, and it's going to get really old real fast.
Yeah, every single time. And I feel like the people they bring on as celebrities are really, either they're told to mention it or they try really hard to make that a theme. Like Offerman and Megan were obviously doing some innuendos when they were talking about some of their firsts and things like that. And then also later in the show, we'll get to the group date with, was it Eichler? What's his name?
Billy Eichner.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Love him. But then, of course, he had all his innuendos. And like you said, it's just not going to go away. So I think we have to get used to it. But maybe for the sake of the listeners and for ourselves, we don't dwell on it as much as the show's going to dwell on it. But as you said, it's just something that's going to be there and we're going to have to get used to it.
As far as the different performances go, did you have a favorite? The ones that I wrote down, I enjoyed Elise's. I thought she came out swinging, talking about being the older woman, showing Colton a couple things or two. Nicole's mention of of finally dating somebody like the only white bread she's ever had. And then Tracy talking about like getting punched in the face along with the best sex she's ever had. Like, I don't know if you ever watched the show Californication with David Duchovny, but that's actually like a general or early theme running in the first episode of the show. Is having sex and getting punched in the face. So that was the first thing that I thought of when I heard of all this combined together. So I don't know if you had any other thoughts or takeaways from this.
No, you kind of hit the really big ones. Hannah G had a moment up there, and I thought hers was like fine. It was really sweet, and
I thought it was meh.
Yeah, it was meh. But it's hard because they seem to do this a lot. I think they've realized that the more they have people write down, like in previous seasons, they've written down songs and they have to write songs for each other or poems. And this kind of write down your first thing. It's like they're really trying to get these people to open up and test their writing skills, which actually is a skill not many people have. So they're kind of in a zone that's not very comfortable. It was pretty funny just to see the different personalities out there. Some trying to tell stories, some trying to tie it into their experience now, which was really interesting. Tracy went with a crazy college story, which is I liken it to when you give a toast at a wedding as a best man or something, and to you it's hilarious and like you can't wait to tell this story, but then everyone in the crowd has no idea why this is funny to you because they did not live in that moment. And I think Tracy had one of those awkward toast moments at a wedding where she thought she nailed it and it was like, oh, that's really weird.
That's a really good analogy. I like that a lot. The other thing that we noticed too is that we started to see the passing of the torch from the producer pawn villain in Catherine to the far better villain that we had been waiting for the show, the much more natural villain in Demi. And you and I are finally thrilled to see this happen.
Were we waiting or did I call that? I think I called that right away. And if we go, we could go up to the notes. And when you write down villain, Catherine's the producer pawn, but I think I put like Demi question mark underneath.
You and I were both on there. I think my thought was Demi should be the villain, but I don't know if they're going to use her as such. Because you knew from the very beginning, she was in the intro video, because remember her mom was in prison. They're having the conversation with her mother. And I kept thinking like, this woman is going to be a great villain if they allow her to be the villain. I don't know how they're going to frame her narrative and her story, but she should be the one that we have our eye on from the very beginning. So I think you and I were both in on that.
Yeah, this is refreshing. I think this is the first time we have a villain that seems authentic and isn't told what to say. And I think there are times where she probably is told to say something here and there based off of something she's already said. So I think if 80% of her is this villain character, then the show's trying to get 100% of it out of her. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So she's pretty authentic, and she doesn't care what she says or who she says it to, and that's awesome. It's funny. It's the first time a villain doesn't have Lindsay rolling her eyes. She's like, I actually respect this girl because she's just saying what she actually thinks. So yeah, there's some more authenticity to her, and you can tell the girls are already getting pissed off, and it's pretty entertaining for sure.
Right. And they're already pissed off. They're already annoyed. I will become annoyed if it becomes too obvious that the producers recognize her as a villain and doesn't just sort of let her go with the flow. It's sort of like, like, if you're using it as a basketball analogy, it's like trying to coach James Harden into running, like, high screen role as opposed to just a full isolation, saying, all right, clear out of the way, let me do my thing, and then be the coach on the sidelines and just watch your team and watch James Harden collect all the points.
That's a great analogy, honestly. I mean, we are on fire right now from the wedding to now the James Harden. We are on a roll on this episode, but you're absolutely right. It's just like, let her do her thing. She doesn't need an extra tug, because when you try to coach her along of something she's already doing, it's going to become overkill. So that's a really good point.
Let's move on to Hannah B. One-on-one date. You had the horseback riding. You're already starting to get the sense of the Miss America war between her and Kaylin starting to come in on the horizon, and a good job by the producers to really sort of dive into that and know that these two had a history and know that this was going to create conflict from the very beginning on the show. There is something that's a little bit strange, though, with Hannah B., and I felt pretty confident about her. I thought she was a Final Four candidate from the very beginning, and now I'm starting to have some doubts, even though she got a rose.
Yeah, and I don't want to go too far into this because I think we're going to dive deeper into this a little bit later. But if we're going to at least talk about this date on the surface, it was just amazing to me the surprise of how poorly it went. I think back to Ari's season when it was Lauren? Was that who he ended up with?
I think so.
After Becca, I think he ended up, I think her name was Lauren. We'll have to see. This is what, look, we're the guys that watch with our wives. We don't know everything. But either way, it was a really, really awkward date. And whoever he is actually with now in real life, that's who it was with. But she didn't talk much. She was very insecure, not confident with how things were going. And that's how the date with Hannah B. went. It was like she was so in her own head, she couldn't get out of her own way. Yeah. And I was very uncomfortable.
I was too. It was almost as if somebody who was a Miss America contestant had just prepared for what she thought she should say and how it would go. How many times, like, I wanted to set an in-game line of how many times she mentioned that it was her birthday. She probably mentioned that about, like, 9 times.
I started getting the sense that she's very socially awkward and really has no confidence when it comes to speaking and is so worried about how she's going to be perceived. She becomes silent. And like so many times it was really weird because Colton, he's a nice guy. He's going to give you the benefit of the doubt, but he's not the person to lead a conversation 80% and let you sit there and only give 20%. Like he needs some 50-50. And it was awkward because there were times where he would stop and he was waiting for her to say something and then just nothing. It was silent.
She's a great fastball hitter. Can't hit the curve. Can't hit the off-speed stuff.
You're giving her credit by saying she's a great fastball hitter.
Well, because you can prepare for the fastball. If you know that the fastball is coming, you can go ahead and make sure that you're ready for it. It's anything outside of the fastball is what we expect. And
yeah, the curveball was giving a toast.
Yeah.
And she was like, whoa. And literally, all she had to do was say something nice, and she couldn't say anything. And the one thing she could muster up to say in her toast was, Roll Tide. Are you kidding me? Like, does that not really hit the heart of what people think when it comes to Alabama people and a stereotype? Like, she did not help the stereotypical Alabama person there by, like, not knowing what to say and just saying, Roll Tide, cheers.
Not one bit. Yeah, I think you're spot on there. And then the final group date, you had Camp Bachelor with Billy Eichner. Again, nothing too crazy out of here. You had a sleepover in a sense, which I think was more about just screwing with the minds of the other team that had to go home as opposed to making any sort of real connections. But I also think that you saw Heather, Never Been Kissed, start to establish a little bit of long-term value, even though she did not kiss Colton on the group date. That's something for him to look forward to. And I think that was a smart move on her part.
Funny you say she didn't kiss him, because when I was watching it, I thought he didn't kiss her. And the reason I say that is because she kind of opened up and was like, I've never kissed anyone before, which, side note, I was really kind of thrown back that she was so worried about that. If there's one person she could talk to and realize won't judge her and it will not be a big issue for her, she should have known it was Colton. Not to mention, not to say it's not a big deal, like it is, and I know why she's probably anxious about it, but at least have the confidence that he's not going to judge her for that.
In theory, I mean, there could have been... Listen, there's all these different situations that could occur. He could have maybe secretly been judging her for it. Like, well, why is she not having any sort of intimacy with any sort of guy? Like, that could absolutely be in play. But you're right. Colton's been hanging on to something for a long time. In theory, he should be able to understand what Heather was going through.
Yeah, so when she came out and opened up to him, it was kind of this funny thing where all of a sudden they sat there in this awkward, quick moment. Like, are they going to kiss? Are they not going to kiss? And I think he made the conscious decision for her, I'm not going to do it right now because it's just not the right way, especially with her coming out with it. It was smart. It was like, I really think he kind of took that in a way that I was impressed with that situation. So props to him because she was so vulnerable. I think she would have just done it even if she didn't really want to in that moment. And for him to just like, nope, let's leave it as it is. You're right. I think, and the fact she got the rose, I mean, she's there in the long term and it obviously was not a big deal.
Finally, the elimination rounds, you had four girls go. Angelique ended up being eliminated. We never really heard much from her. Annie had a pretty tearful goodbye, even though we hadn't really seen much of her. I think she was the 23-year-old from New York.
She was more sad of leaving the girls, I think, than she was Colton, because
that's fair.
If they always like cut away to the goodbyes, and like everyone hugged someone, but it was like a whole group of people rushed to Annie. And so I think it was more like, oh, man, I'm leaving my friends. And that's maybe where the emotions came from.
Alex B. also left the show. She was the one who rescues dogs, which I was a little bit surprised by. I kind of thought she had, you know, a possible dark horse potential to go to the Final Four. And then you and I both lost a Final Four contestant in Erica McNutt, who got a lot of screen time in the first episode. Unfortunately, just didn't capitalize in the next round.
Yeah, we lost one of our four. I mean, we both have three remaining, so I'm not going to get too down on ourselves, but that was somewhat of a shocker based on after the first episode, we felt like, oh, yeah, she might make it pretty far, but there you go. You never know.
Right, and again, I'm feeling a little bit more nervous because I still have Hannah B. as part of my Final Four, and again, we're not going to change it. This is our picks at the beginning of the show before doing any sort of scouting whatsoever. So my final three left include Hannah B., Cassie and Tayshia. Yours include Cassie, so we both have her, Bree and Tracy. So
I really feel good about mine.
You think Tracy's gonna last?
No, Tracy's gonna go, and we have to touch on that. I'm sure some people are listening, like, how have these guys recap the show and they haven't said a thing about Tracy yet? That's because it's coming, don't worry.
Yeah,
but the only reason I feel good about it is because she's bringing some drama, and sometimes that's good for your long-term liveability on the show, is when you bring drama, they like to keep you around. But yeah, out of those three, I for sure think Tracy would be the first to go. Bree's interesting to me. Every time I watch, I'm like, she's shown kind of a lot, but then really quiet. They don't ever show their conversations, and I kind of feel like she's made that dark horse that does make it far, even though we haven't heard a splash yet.
Like she gets maybe an early date and then sort of sticks around for a while and just sort of is in the back of his mind for a little bit.
Yeah, like I think she's doing well enough to keep getting roses, and then all of a sudden we're going to be episode 5 or 6 and she's going to get a 1-1. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, like I didn't realize how much of a chance this girl has. One of those situations.
Yeah, and again, she was somebody that... Well, let's go back to the idea of being a good producer, right? And understanding television. Do you think that they would have hyped her up in that video with the Australian accent if she wasn't going to be a part of the show for a while? Like, if she was going to eliminate on the first or second night?
Yeah, if you're in their head, it's, am I teasing the best moment of the night or one of the best intros to get people excited about the limo stuff? Or am I teasing something that was pretty hilarious, plus that person is going to go far? Let's give them a little glimpse. And that's a good point. I would say it's probably in my advantage that she was kind of the first person to be teased by the producers, and maybe that's why I'm in my mind I'm thinking she might go pretty far. But overall, she just seems to be the steady, you know, they say that, what is it, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and
right.
She seems to be kind of being steady right now on that and in a little jog right now, but I feel good moving forward. But anyways, we did lose Erica. And I think midway through, we'll have a new Final Four, maybe who we really think will win based off of what we know. But so far, we'll just follow the people we thought.
Sort of like a second chance bracket when you're filling out your NCAA tournament picks and everybody is shot after the Sweet 16.
Exactly, because that is me literally every year. That is like, why do people do that? I have no idea, but all right. We still do it.
So the other thing that we wanted to do, besides just recap the show, is we wanted to provide our own spin and a couple of our own perspectives and do some weekly staples here on the podcast. So we decided we wanted to do and take a look on a per-episode basis our MVP of the episode, and also someone that we're going to call the bench warmer, that just we saw enough of them. You know, they weren't productive when they were on the field or on the court. Just we need to let some time pass. Let them think about their actions for a little bit before we decide to go back to them again. So I will go to you first. Who was your MVP and your bench warmer from episode 2 of The Bachelor this year?
Okay, so I want to try something, and we'll be completely transparent with people. I want to intro this, and then we'll find some sound effect later that plays right before I say my person. So I'm going to say, for this week, my MVP is, and then we'll insert something there, Demi.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Okay, Demi... who you're looking at me like right now, like you are such a joke, but hey,
no, I just got to think of what we're going to add in.
Oh, I'll find something. Don't you worry.
Okay.
And I will send you the file. But anyways, Demi to me is an MVP. Because we talked about how she's becoming an authentic villain.
Yes.
And because of that, we can guarantee she is going to be around for a while. Not only because of that, but Colton seems to be, if not liking her a lot, he's enjoying her entertainment and what she's bringing, and it's kind of fun for him. She definitely is the most aggressive. And so one way or another, she's going to be here for the long run, and I'm going to give her MVP because she's going to become famous. When this show's over, people already know she's a household name when it comes to those that watch the show. So to her credit, the way she's kind of just taken this and grabbed it, I think she's my MVP of the week. Now, someone that has to grab some bench.
I can't even.
Can't even what?
Even. Like, I just can't even.
Oh, like you literally can't even.
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally has to grab some bench is Tracy. I am beyond frustrated, and it's the classic, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen, Tracy. Because how emotional do you have to be so early on? I mean, goodness, from the beginning of the episode, she's upset because they're in the group date and how things are going. And I think there might have been some tears there.
Yeah.
And she's really pissed off at how she's being treated. She didn't like the way Demi was being immature. I mean, go on. And she's talking to other girls about it behind Demi's back. Whatever. And at the end of the episode, to be crying in the bathroom and need to be consoled. I mean, there's always one person in this show that doesn't realize it's a competition. You have to be able to stand up for yourself, take a few hits, and get back up. And she's just way too sensitive for that. And of all things, the reason she has to grab some bench is because the fact that Demi grabbed the rose as a joke and that was like a trigger for her during the group date was just... I couldn't believe it. It was insane.
So I think your picks are really good, and I want to get to Tracy in just a second. I'll start with my MVP. I think Demi's going to have plenty of opportunities to grab that MVP rose over the course of the show. I can't disagree with that pick, but I'm going to go Elise. I didn't know who she was until this episode, and she was the veteran. There was a couple of veterans on the show, 30-plus-year-old women, and she decided to stand out in a positive way. She decided to sort of flip the script a little bit. She was talking about her first, and we mentioned it earlier on in the recap, talking about the first time she's ever dated a younger man. That caught Colton's attention. He mentioned when they were talking before that he thought it was really sexy. He was really into it. They got a kiss out of it. She is somebody that I think could be around for a little bit because she provided an element of intrigue, and when you hadn't done anything before in the previous episode to stick around, and now all of a sudden you come out and you lead the squad, like, she was one of the top performers of this week. So she's my MVP for the week only because she came out of nothing to really start and start a trend there that I think is going to keep her around for a while. I'm with you on Tracy. I think she's got a, you know, what's that line from Anchorman after, you know, Champ starts to lose it? Yeah, take it easy, Champ. Why don't you stop talking for a while? But Trace, maybe sit the next couple plays out, you know what I mean? That's a problem. And again, the dichotomy between Tracy and Elise, both of them are 31. You had one of them take that and completely turn it on its head. And with Tracy, man, like, you're a veteran. You're 31 years old. You're originally from New York. tough East Coast. What are you doing? And you let Demi just walk all over you 8 years younger. I understand.
Demi made a great point. Demi said, who is the one that's younger here or immature? Because the way she was handling her emotions, I mean, that's the point that was genius by Demi. Is like, if you didn't know who was older and who wasn't, you'd probably think Tracy was more immature. It was crazy.
For sure. And again, you can even go back to Tracy's story, which made her attempt to try and seem younger when in reality it was a more immature move on her part. I'm disappointed. Like, I thought this is somebody that was going to be a little bit more savvy, that was going to play the high road a lot of the time, not get bogged down by the shenanigans from either Catherine or Demi, and she's fallen for it right from the very beginning. And I know that you had her as a potential Final Four pick. I know that you thought that she looked like Tia, which was a little bit more of an intrigue, and I love that call. However, she does mention in her bio on ABC.com that she loves to be the center of attention. And maybe this is all a part of the ploy to try and get people caring about her, to try and get some people on her side, maybe get a little bit more of the sympathy votes. Regardless, though, it's not working. And so that's going to be something that she's going to have to spend some time on the bench thinking about.
You bring up a great point. I need to go and say something real quick. I'm going to try to toast and do a better job than Hannah B. I'm going to toast to Tia and say, here's to me apologizing for ever thinking Tracy was anywhere near what you were going to be. Granted, I was strictly off of doppelganger looks, but to put them in the same sentence just isn't fair at this point, because Tracy is so not even close to what Tia was on her season as far as being able to handle herself and a mainstay and being fun and with whatever you want to say. So the fact I made that comparison, I feel bad, because at this point I'm just disappointed in what we've seen from Tracy.
You're not even mad. You're just disappointed.
It's even worse.
Right. I was going to make some sort of a Tia tequila joke there, but it's probably not going to work. So let's move on to our film session. This is an opportunity where you and I take a look back at something that really caught our eye. Spend about a minute on it. Maybe there's a rant. Maybe there's a little bit of a breakdown involved. So, Andrew, your film session breakdown and review comes to what scene from last Monday?
Amazingly, our first film session for me might be the shortest we ever have as far as length, but I have to touch on this. I mean, this really threw me back, and I legitimately needed to pause and rewind and watch again. It was a true film session. At the end of the show, your girl, Elise, who's your MVP, she had a great performance, I'm not going to lie, but the ninth inning came around, she's up to the plate, and she totally struck out, and you might be thinking, what? She said paper, rock, scissors instead of rock, paper, scissors. She literally said, what is this, paper, rock, scissors? Hold on. Excuse me, who's ever said paper, rock, scissors in their life or even played the game paper, rock, scissors? Because it's clearly rock, paper, scissors. And I really had to rewind and watch that over and over again just to make sure what I heard was correct.
Do you do rock, paper, scissors or rock, paper, scissors shoot?
Interesting question. That is normally what you decide when you're playing with someone. It's the first question you ask. Are we going to go on rock? Are we going to go on scissors or are we going to go on shoot? So I guess I've played both.
I think you got to go on shoot. That's an even playing field.
I prefer not going on shoot. I feel like it's really? More professional and it's
more professional
to go rock, paper, scissors, go. Like you kind of have that beat in your head when you know when to go.
Bump, 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 bump. As opposed
exactly.
to bump, bump, bump. So the shoot is the go.
Like, I feel like saying shoot is like you're in the AAA and you still need some assistance. I mean, you need to be brought up a little
come
bit.
On.
It's like
that. You're my guy. That might be your worst take ever.
All I know is even worse than that is that she said paper, rock, scissors.
I know.
And I just couldn't let that slide. And I needed that to be brought up in this podcast. So I like Elise. Had a great run this week. But whoa. Someone needs to teach her how to actually play that game.
We might need to make that a Twitter poll at Andrew _Carter at Benny Heiss. What do you call the game? Is it rock, paper, scissors or rocks? Or what was it? What did she say? Rock, paper?
Exactly. Why do we have to make that a Twitter poll? It's going to be 100% to 0%. No one has ever played the game paper, rock, scissors.
I wonder if new prop bet. I'm going to add this to our list of prop bets. I am going to predict that more than 10% say they call it paper, rock, scissors.
Man, I want to go in on that and say you are so wrong. But the problem is there's going to be someone out there that just for fun is going to click it even when they know it's not. It's like, how do I know legitimacy of the poll? Because they're just going to pick something they know is not true. But I'll take that. I'm going to say under 10%.
All right, you'll take that action?
Paper, rock, scissors.
Okay, very good. We got a good split bet here. My film session is going to go back to that one-on-one between Colton and Hannah B. And you brought up a little bit of a teaser early on that Hannah B. was asked to give a toast. And not only could she not give a toast, but she just completely failed in spectacular fashion. She couldn't say anything. She couldn't say, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to spend time with you. I'm happy to be on this horse or this beautiful scenery or here's to my birthday. Like, all she said was, Roll Tide. And it was very easy in that moment to make fun of her, this Miss America contestant that, you know, typically has everything prepared ahead of time and, you know, I just want world peace. And then I started thinking about it, and I think that moment, The Bachelor could have actually done something in the context of the show and the discussion around it by talking about that, man, that could have been a PSA for anxiety. Like, those are exhibits and behaviors of somebody that's just, like, going through it. And, yeah, it's easy to look back and say, like, man, there's something ain't right, and let's laugh about it. But I just couldn't. I felt terrible for her in that situation. And I wonder if that could have been an opportunity that The Bachelor and the producers around the show could have taken to the audience and said, man, this is a real thing, and a lot of people go through it, and sometimes it's not always a laughing matter.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because it was a classic scenario of watching something, and there was this cycle you go through. And at first, you're laughing, and then you're just like, whoa, this isn't funny anymore. I'm really, really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then it gets so bad that you actually feel bad for her.
Right.
Like, there's a part of you that says, this is so uncomfortable that I can't believe it got to this point.
All these different cycles of emotion, right?
Yeah, so to your point, yeah, it could be a PSA for anxiety. It was rough, and to see Colton's reactions to it, like, dumbfounded. Like, he felt like he was in a situation which, first of all, he did not expect at all, and then he was really thrown off by someone he thought could be open and fun and bubbly and just completely shut down. It was something else to behold. That's an all-time bad date, and to your point, it's like, I don't even know if we can, like, joke about it because it was that bad.
If there is any sort of silver lining in her interview with the producer, she does talk about the fact that she can come undone very easily. She talked about, like once she loses her confidence, then everything starts to spiral out of control. And even Kaylin, the other Miss America contestant, had mentioned that about her, that she can be a different person. So I'm interested to see how that development continues to go between the two of them as well.
And then last point, I think if you're going to be on the show, and whether you're going to try to win the show or you're going to date anyone in this world, whatever, I think the most common thing for a human, you have to have confidence in yourself. If you're comfortable with who you are, then you could bring on another relationship. I just don't see how Hannah B can be on the show. And if I were Colton, no joke, that night I would not have been able to give her a rose.
Oh, that would have been a total red flag for me.
I think I would have sent her home and in the nicest way say, you just need to build confidence in yourself before you can give it to anyone else. Because it was really wild the way that unfolded.
He can also play the card of, I've been on the show and I know what it does to your self-confidence, and I feel like at this point, this isn't a healthy environment for you.
Yeah.
So he
absolutely
could have absolutely played that card, and it wouldn't have been insulting. It wouldn't have been mischaracterized. I think everybody saw that and was thinking the same exact thing, that this could turn out very ugly a little bit later on. So I'm hoping that at least by her recognition of it, that she'll be able to come out better on the other side. But it is definitely something to keep an eye on. All right, before we get out of here, you and I were talking about, you know, some of these different segments that we wanted to do each week, and I thought nothing could be better for two guys that enjoy the competition and watching sports, and occasional wagers on sports as well, to come up with a couple of props, a couple of bets that we can look forward to either for next week or for the rest of the show. So I came up with three. I'm going to throw them your way. I'm going to see what you think about them and whether or not we're on the same page here, because I tried to make the odds about as close as you could possibly get. So toasts were a big theme on last week's episode, obviously with Hannah B struggling, but there were about like four or five different toasts over the course of that episode. It felt pretty high to me. So for next week, I want you to set the over under. I've set it at 2.5, over under 2.5 toasts made during next week's episode.
Because I think it's a crutch for Colton, I really think when he doesn't know what to say, he says, "Why don't we make a toast?" Or when there's any awkward moments, like, "Do you want to make a toast for us?" Some people have crutch words. Some people say "like" a lot. I listened back to our last podcast and I was like, "Oh, just right there. I said like a lot, right?" So I was trying to make an effort this week to not say like as much. And I just don't think Colton has that self-awareness to realize he's toasting everything. Here's a toast to the wallpaper. How beautiful is the wallpaper in this house? So for that reason, I'm going to say over. There will be at least 3 toasts next episode.
By the way, shout out to my friend Sarah Blattner, who tweeted out at @blatt_cat11 last night. How many toasts do they need to do on The Bachelor? Cheers all day, but toast to blah, blah, blah. 100%. I'm with you there, Sarah. And that was actually part of the inspiration behind that over-under. Now, that's the only over-under that I came up with for this week, because I think there's a couple that I'm actually setting odds for that I'm really interested to get your perspective in.
You didn't answer. What do you think? Over or under 2.5 next week?
I am going to say over, because I think there's going to be at least one per date.
You're a smart man. It's obvious.
So, okay. Well, maybe I should have set up at 3.5. We'll keep an eye on it. Maybe there'll be another one for the following weeks. This one I'm really excited about, and I think this won't necessarily be for next week, but for future shows ahead. Who is more likely to get a 2-on-1 date? Is it going to be, because they always set this up for drama between two contestants that have been fighting throughout the course of the show. So is it going to be the two Miss America contestants, Hannah B. and Kaylin? And I set that at +225. And so for people that are unfamiliar with betting terminology, if it's plus something, that means if you were to bet $100, you could win $225. Now, if it was -225, you would have to bet $225 to win $100. So that means the odds are more in your favor because it's a more difficult bet. So I set the two Miss America contestants at +225 to be the likely getting the 2-on-1 date. I then set Tracy and Demi at +275. So you bet $100 to win $275. And then I set the field, because it's still very early. There could be more fights and more argumentative moments that could come. And I set that at -250. So that's the one that probably has the best odds or the easiest odds for that bet to hit. So between those three, where are you more likely to go?
Because it's been talked about so much so early, if I went to a book and I saw these, as much as I'd want to take the field because it's the safe bet, I have to go with Hannah B and Kaylin. It's the Miss America duo, and they're gonna make sure that is on stage. They already are talking about each other behind their backs, and they room together. They've been together. Let's see that in person. I'm locked in, +225. Love those odds for Hannah B and Kaylin.
So I think that's a really good play, and I said it because I thought that would be the more popular pick. However, a lot of those times, those dates come to two different situations. One is neither of the girls have gone on a date yet. They're waiting for their 1-on-1. They end up on the 2-on-1. Hannah B got the first date of the season. So maybe it comes a lot later where that doesn't really matter. The other component, too, is that usually that's the date that the villain leaves. Right? Mm-hmm. I think we've seen a couple people, they always sort of do like those stranded moments where they queue away from like the island that they're on. So I think the better bet here is actually between Tracy and Demi, because I don't think that's going away anytime soon.
I love it. I think that's a great point. You bring up a lot of points, and you're making me second guess my bet. But I think I'm a little selfish. Sometimes I bet my favorite teams, even though I know they'll never win. And I just want to see Hannah B and Kaylin. So I'm going to bet it with my heart, even though my head might say, you're right. It could very well be the field or Tracy and Demi.
They definitely, though, have set it up as if it's going to happen. So I completely understand your point. I think both of them. Like, I probably could have set them both at like +250, and they could have come in with decent action either way. Here's my favorite prop bet that I came up with. We're talking about Heather and her first kiss and when it's going to happen and that she's never been kissed before. So I have set odds for Heather's first kiss. Here we go. Her first kiss will come from Colton, the easy favorite here. However, you got to give up a lot for this bet. It is at -675, meaning you have to pay $675 just to win $100. This is like choosing the Golden State Warriors to win the NBA Finals. You know that it's going to be there. You just have to figure out whether or not, like, Steph Curry, maybe he breaks his leg. And then all of a sudden the odds fluctuate a little bit. So that's the easy favorite here. I also listed won't happen on the show. She either goes home or just something happens along the way. put that at plus 500. Or the absolute wild card in this scenario, that Heather's first kiss will come from one of the women in the house at plus 900.
Wow.
Tough odds. But listen, you got nothing to do all day. Maybe she's nervous. Maybe she wants to practice. And I think there's a little bit of a possibility that it could happen in the process. So
you have pulled out all the stops here. I think if a lot of
females... I think
I could
work in Vegas. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think if a lot of females were honest with themselves, a good portion would say their first kiss was with another woman practicing or at a sleepover with some bet or whatever, a dare. And it's possible that Heather gets coaxed into that in the house. I'm not going to lie. Whether or not the producers are going to roll on it, and we see that,
that's
I don't
good
know.
Point.
But obviously, I think that's something that would be so big and talked about that it would happen. I'm leaning towards that bet because I think it's so genius that you put it on there. The problem with it is it would be such a bombshell, be so talked about. It would literally overshadow every single thing that has ever happened on The Bachelor that I just don't see it happening. And as much as I want to say it won't happen on the show, I just feel like even if it wasn't going to happen, there was going to be some sort of temptation, get them together. Let's try to see if they fall for it and it happens so we can put it in. So I'd probably have to put $675 on the line for Colton, even though I don't want to, but maybe I'm kind of hedging that with my Hannah B and Kaylin pick.
Fair enough. And I think you're going to see them have a kiss together. I think the question will be whether or not it's their first or not. And you're right. How awesome of a story would it be if the story coming out of the show was Heather didn't find love with Colton, but she found it with one of the other girls on the show? That would be such a cool story for that show and completely out of left field that I would be fully on board.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be like found love with them. It's just the typical process of what before your first kiss or your first kiss. And it's just so it's so elementary, so middle school that it would be it would be so entertaining. It's something I never would have thought about, but when you listed it on there as an option, I just had to laugh. So props to you, Heights, for that one. That's a really, really good one. But I have to stick with the easy bet, I guess, which is Colton. But, if I was in a book, I probably would just stay away because it's hard for anyone to put that much money on the line.
Right. Or maybe you tease one of the women in the house down from plus 900 to, like, plus 200, and you just pour a little bit more on it and move some of the other bets around. Either way, if you have a bet or a prop bet that you'd like us to use here on You Play to Win the Rose podcast, go ahead and tweet us at @Andrew_Carter, @BennyHeist, and we will read our favorites on next week's episode of the show. So, anything else we're missing before we say goodbye?
I don't think so. I think we're just a really quick 15 seconds. What are you looking for next week?
I'm wanting to see more Demi and more Tracy. I think we're going to see an opportunity for Tracy to bounce back. I'm also wondering if Catherine's going to spend any more time as the villain. She took a big backseat very quickly to Demi, and this was somebody that we talked about a bunch in the first episode. So we'll see who ends up being more the villain throughout. Is it going to be more Demi? Is it going to be Demi and Catherine? Also, you know, there's that I'm blanking out on her name. I do this each and every week. I think it's Onyeka from Nigeria. She has a chance to be a villain in a lot of these situations too. Remember, they had the back and forth during the cocktail party of banging on the drum and going back and forth to try and separate the date. So I think who's going to end up being the ultimate villain for next week as opposed to the long-term villain, I'm curious about. What about you?
I have a theory based off of what you just said on the villain thing. I think what happened was Catherine was the pick by the producers to be the villain. And the first episode, they said, go out there, drink some cocktails, go crazy, be mean. And what happened was, out of nowhere, this little diamond in the rough Demi came out and was naturally that person. And so all of a sudden the producers are like, hey, Catherine, I know like we're going to have this whole thing for you, but yeah, we don't need that. So just do you, just hang around, have some fun. We're just going to roll on this girl all the time. So I really think it was like an adjustment made when Demi came out the way she did. So maybe that's what happened there. Cause like you said, Catherine has definitely gone into the background a little bit, but what I'm looking for is my girl Bree to have her moment. I don't know when it's coming, but I'm hoping it's coming next week. I think, she's definitely got a chance to be there for the long run. I just want to see her have a little more one-on-one time with Colton. So we'll see what happens with the Australian accent, Brie. And otherwise, I think it was a good episode, and I think the dates were pretty fun. So hopefully we'll have more of those good concepts moving forward.
Also, really quick, shame on us for not mentioning the line of the show, which was when Demi took Colton upstairs, to which Caitlin from Toronto, who we haven't even talked about once, said, "My God, does she have parents?"
Amazing, because, yeah, obviously we know her mom's in jail, so that was really, really well timed by Caitlin.
More Caitlin, please, for future episodes. For Andrew, I'm Ben. Thank you guys for listening. Please, now that we're on Apple Podcasts, give us a quick review. 5 stars
subscribe,
would be amazing.
Subscribe.
Subscriptions would be amazing, but let us know what you think about the show. Don't forget to tweet us with your favorite prop bets for next week. We will talk to you again soon on the next episode of You Play to Win the Rose. Be good, everybody.
Peace.
Take a piece of tinsel and put it on the tree. Put a slice of melon and pretend that you still love me. Carve out a pumpkin and rely on your destiny. Car and cruise the